With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, indeed, folks. Welcome aboard. Steve Malzberg with you. It is 9 p.m. here on Monday on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you may be listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. Lots to get to. It was a very busy weekend. We have the developments in China. We have Donald Trump's meeting with a Holocaust denier. And of course, the media not missing a beat to take Trump to task for that, which he should be taken to task for. But so should every Democrat who's ever met with or not condemned Louis Farrakhan, met with Louis Farrakhan, or Ilhan Omar and her statements, and some of the squad members and their statements, and not condemn them. But of course, that doesn't count. We have a great encounter between a Jewish former Trump advisor and Don Lemon. It is really good. You're not going to want to miss it. But I want to turn my attention to I want to say it's the most important thing, and it kind of is, because it involves our children. But of course, there's so many most important things, if you will, because the left is just so zoomed in on destroying this country in every which way that they can. And but the schools really always, bother me tremendously. And I hope it should bother everybody. And we have returning to the show, I'm happy to say, is the president of the Oregon's Moms Union, Mackenzie Pulliam. Mackenzie, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I know you're getting over a little cold or something, so feel free to cough, whatever you got to do.
Thank you. It's
okay. I hope you don't have to, but feel free to. All right. So I know that you are celebrating, we're celebrating, and it's about 3 weeks now after the election. Nonetheless, you feel that people spoke out, especially in the state of Oregon, where you are, voted in several candidates who support parental rights and a student first education system and more school choice. So talk about what happened, in Oregon, some of the people that were elected, and how you believe that that issue, which I wanted it to see rank right up there at number one, right with inflation and crime and everything else, how that issue played as far as you could see.
Yeah, I think, here in deep blue Oregon, we'll take any wins that we can get. I think a lot of people get a little worried because, maybe all the expectations that we had of this crazy huge red wave, didn't get met because we didn't win the governorship. But we were able to pick up, 16 individuals who filled out our questionnaire and were rated A when it came to parents' rights and school choice issues. 16 of those individuals were newly elected to the Oregon legislature. And because of that, here in Oregon, we got rid of the supermajority, which in a lot of states may not sound like a big deal, but here in Oregon, that's wonderful. That no longer means that, new taxes can be passed strictly by Democrats. It means that we have a chance to impact some positive changes here in the education system in the upcoming legislative session. And so we're really just trying to be super positive about those wins that we made and those candidates that are going to be, pro parents' rights, looking to help us reinstate graduation requirements, bring back open enrollment, and bring back more school choice options to the Oregon education system.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about, school boards that you may be aware of? I mean, are the parents in, as you said, deep blue Oregon, are they on the side of people like you and me? Do they believe that, no, the teachers do not know best what's best for their children, that the parents should be involved and the parents should have a voice?
Yeah, there's a really interesting mix here in Oregon. In the really urban areas, we have a lot of school boards that I guess you would call aren't very parent friendly necessarily. But in some of the more rural areas, we have some great school board members who are very much understanding of parents' rights and making sure that we are pushing academics and not, you know, political agendas. But we here in Oregon, so we have school board races coming up in May of 2023. So we are really looking forward to that. We are already starting to recruit candidates, and we are going to make a really strong push along with parents to make sure that we can flip some school boards here in Oregon and get back some of that local control that we've really been lacking in previous years.
Yeah, well, that would be that certainly would be wonderful. Let me ask you how you reacted in the aftermath of the horrific shooting in Colorado at the gay club, which, as it turns out, as far as we know, based on what he has said through his lawyer, he is a member of that community. He uses them and they pronouns, and he's non-binary. At least that's what he's saying. So. But nonetheless, we did several shows here in the aftermath of that shooting and played so many sound bites documenting how, you know, the second it happened, the media just went nuts. The left went nuts. And anybody who's ever said anything about, you know, drag queen shows in schools or libraries with kids or teaching kids in school that at 4 years old that you may be a boy or you may be a girl. Anybody who's ever said anything about anything, they said you have blood on your hands, which of course is insane and ridiculous. But I wonder how you digested all that. And what about the people you speak to?
I mean, I think it's an incredibly tragic situation, you know, that happened in Colorado, and really, you know, these things keep continuing to happen all across the country, and I think it's very tragic. And part of me wonders is how much of this that's being pushed on kids in our schools is really furthering this confusion and this angst that is causing some of these things to happen. I don't think at the end of the day, I don't think that most parents have issues with, you know, anyone who is part of the LGBTQ community. And I think that most parents want everyone to feel, you know, safe and accepted. I think there's more of an issue with people that are teaching these things and pushing them on kids as young as kindergarten here in Oregon. And I think that's really where the issue is coming in, especially for a lot of parents. And it does make me wonder when we start pushing those kind of, you know, adult topics on children at the age of five, then of course they're going to be confused and there's going to be frustration and these kind of things could happen. When why don't we stick to teaching them reading and writing and math when test scores show that most of our kids don't know how to read at the proper proficiency level?
Yeah, you would think. Absolutely. You would think. But, you know, labeling people like you and others who have spoken up as you're speaking up, in the aftermath of that terrible, horrific shooting, and saying that, you know, you and Tucker Carlson and anybody else who's legislation that has been passed in many, many states, outlawing some of the abuses that you just mentioned, they just, you know, just declared that anybody who took part in any of it has blood on their hands. And I just think that's just outrageous. I mean, it's totally outrageous. But let me let you hear something. I mean, you're well aware of this. You're probably more aware of it than me because you have kids in school. And we're talking to Mackenzie Pulliam, president of the Oregon Moms Union, here on the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT News Talk Radio. This is just an example. Fox played this. They had a fill-in host, and they were leading into a segment, and they played this some examples from libs of TikTok who search TikTok and pick out some of the most outrageous stuff. And here's cut 318.
These are the people teaching our kids.
Terrorists, terrorists, purple for parents are. Terrorists, terrorists, purple for parents are. They come to school board meetings with lots of things to say, and they will bully, cuss, or scream if they don't get their way.
I want to talk to the kids. Sometimes human beings are more than boy or girl. Sometimes we're something else. Sometimes we're both. Sometimes we kind of float in between.
A lot of people, when they hear the term pedophile, they automatically assume that it means a sex offender. And that isn't true. And it leads to a lot of misconceptions about attractions toward minors.
I think that that last one was a college professor who got in trouble for defending pedophiles even more than you just heard. The middle one, I find it hard to believe that the middle one is actually a teacher, because not only did he, she, they, or whatever they call themselves, have lipstick and makeup, but had a like a beard as well, short hair, beard. So imagine that walking into a kid's classroom. I can't even imagine it. And the first one with the little sing song. I mean, I cannot imagine, as I think I told you last time, as a father of a son who's 23 and is out, but it wasn't that long ago. I just cannot imagine that this is where we are today.
Yeah, I mean, hearing things like that as a parent are kind of terrifying. And I know there are so many amazing, wonderful teachers out there. And I feel like a lot of times it seems to be this fight between parents and teachers. And I think it's a very small percentage of the teacher population that actually believes the things that these kind of teachers are saying. And so I don't want to make a generalization, but it is kind of scary to think that these kind of people are imparting their beliefs onto our children. And in reality, they're not supposed to be imparting their beliefs. They're supposed to be teaching them how to be successful so they can enter the workforce when they turn 18, and whether that's higher education, you know, a trade school, going straight into the workforce, whatever that is a teacher's job. It is not a job to teach kids beliefs or the teacher's opinions. I remember growing up, I didn't even know if my teachers were married or had kids. I just knew that they were teaching me to read, write, do math, you know, mostly accurate history, science, those kind of things. And so just these kind of political agendas that are being forced into the classroom based on teachers' personal beliefs, it just, that's not their job. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. That's not what the system is supposed to be doing.
Right, absolutely. And to that point, one of the biggest teachers unions in the country, a couple of weeks ago, the National Education Association, the NEA, tweeted out that educators know better than anyone what students need. And it was a response to a tweet from Betsy DeVos, the former education secretary under Donald Trump. And then they kind of had to walk it back. They got 5,000 responses, turned off the ability to reply to that tweet on Twitter, et cetera. But when you, you know, when you see some of the things that the teachers unions, like that tweet, and some of the resolutions that some of these teachers unions pass, I don't know what they mean exactly, but I mean, their social agenda is so, and I agree with you, there are good teachers, absolutely, but their social agenda within the union is so far to the left. I mean, you know, that's what scares me.
Well, and that's the scary thing, especially when you look at the spending related. Like here in Oregon, the OEA in 2019 spent 23% of their dues on like teacher related costs, and the rest were all political costs. So that right there shows you that teachers, they don't have the teacher's best interests at heart. They are a political machine. And so them saying something like teachers have, you know, the students' best interest. No, they don't. The unions don't have their teachers' best interests. You know, these are our kids, and the teacher's job is to educate them so they can be successful members of society. That is their job. And so to say that they know what's best is completely inaccurate. And I honestly don't even think that most teachers would agree with that. And most teachers, I think, are scared to leave the union and don't even want to be part of them. So these teachers' unions, as far as I'm concerned, honestly, they're just bullies.
Yeah. And I know a teacher here in where I am, that is desperately trying to get out of the union. And there is a way to do it. It's just so complicated because she doesn't like, you know, how they spend their money either, the campaigns they contribute to and everything else. And she says, why should I contribute to that? But listen, all I could say to you is what I said to you first of all, congratulations on getting helping get those candidates elected. It means so much. for you there. I really hope you, you know, and maybe I could be the facilitator if you have any desire to network with, you know, other states, organizations, and maybe nationally, and really start to get this together and form a very powerful organization under one umbrella with separate local affiliates such as your own. I think that could only benefit everybody. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not telling you what to do. But if you ever need any help in doing that, I'd be glad to do it. We could do it through Ian. And in the meantime, just keep up the fight. And you know, you always have a microphone here anytime you need it to keep these people accountable.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Feel good. Mackenzie Pulliam, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Oregon Moms Union here on the Steve Molsberg Show. Now, look, I mean, this is we could talk about everything else, and we will, and we do. But this is so important. I would never, ever send my kid to a school where the teacher is pulling this crap. Never. I'm sorry. I would homeschool them or send them to a private school. And I got to tell you, here on the East Coast, a lot of private schools in some of the big cities, they aren't much better. Parents are pulling their kids out of private school. It's a sickness. It's a sickness. And again, you better not say anything, because then, as that first teacher sang in the TikTok thing that we did from Fox, you know, you're a terrorist. Go to school board meeting. I mean, that's competing with if you're a drag queen and you know it, shake your butt, right? Remember we heard that one being read? Yeah, it's a wonderful life out there. Wonderful world. Oh, wonderful life. I can't wait. I just Googled last night to see when that movie's going to be shown on NBC TV. I know it's available on like different platform, pay platforms and all that, but it's not the same. I don't want to watch it on my phone or whatever. I want to watch it when it's on TV. Sometimes that bothers me too. Like, you could watch something, you could pick what you're going to watch, but sometimes I just like to watch, like if I'm watching a series or reruns or whatever, I want to watch what's on, what came up. I don't want to pick it and put it on. I don't know why. That's just me. Anyway, we got a lot to bring you when we come back, so stay right where you are. I'm Steve Molsberg on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
China tracking and scoring citizens in their new social credit system.
Being discredited makes it hard to get a job or put kids in top schools. The social credit system will go nationwide next year, and few here are willing to criticize it. Something that may pose a risk itself for a bad score and the life that comes with it.
I think the average person hearing this is terrified. And what they also just described was what they're trying to do with environment and social governance to all of American business and the ESG scores. The idea is you go along with what the regime in power wants, with the woke agenda to the letter, or you will be dinged and your score will go down. Your access to money, your access to buildings, your access to marketing, your access to banking, you name it, is affected. It's the most totalitarian tool in order to get people to literally comply with your system and still make it look as though you don't have to do it. You don't have to get financing. You don't have to get access to buildings. You don't have to have access to your own money.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In times of fear, World Vision has been there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've stood with kids and families during some of the world's hardest times. Through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and support, helping rebuild lives, and empowering entire communities to lift themselves out of poverty. And we're doing the same today. Because rising to these challenges is in our DNA. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, at home and abroad, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
The Steve Molsberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, get ready. This is really going to be fun, at least for me. I heard it already, and I get to hear it again because I'm playing it for you. this morning on a show that very few people watch, Don Lemon on CNN with his two co-hosts and a guest named Len Khodorkovsky. And he is a former Trump administration official, is what they said. And he's Jewish. I meet half those requirements, but I was not a Trump administration official. Anyway, so of course they had him on, expecting him to trash Donald Trump for meeting a few days ago with Fuentes and Kanye West, or whatever his name is. Fuentes is a Holocaust denier, and supposedly Kanye brought him along. Trump didn't know he was going to come. Trump didn't know anything about him. Whatever. Look, Trump could be an idiot. Okay? A real idiot. But he's not an anti-Semite. He's done more for Israel than any other president. His grandkids are Jewish. His daughter is Jewish. His son-in-law is Jewish. I mean, for crying out loud, does he say stupid things sometimes? Yes. Is saying, American Jews, you better wake up. You better support Israel more before it's too late. Is that anti-Semitic? Of course not. But the same people claiming he's anti-Semitic now for meeting with this Fuentes guy, is they're the same people who they're the same people who said he was anti-Semitic for that. So anyway, keep that in mind. So here's Don Lemon. And of course, Don Lemon's expecting the usual. I mean, I don't know who booked this guy, but I think he hoodwinked whoever booked him. I think he said, oh, yes, this was awful. Oh, yes, I'm ready to say Trump should apologize. I'm ready. Oh, yes, this is horrific. And then he gets on and you'll hear how it went. So here we go with Don Lemon and Len Khodorkovsky, 322.
Joining us now is Len Khodorkovsky. He is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State in the Trump administration, and he is Jewish.
You know, I can tell an anti-Semite when I hear one. And I can tell you with confidence that President Trump is not an anti-Semite. He also has a very strong record on issues that concern the Jewish community. I mean, we can start with any number of things like making it tougher to discriminate against Jewish students on college campuses.
Okay, sir, I understand that. But can we talk about Nick Fuentes, please? Thank you.
Let's just call Nick Fuentes for who he is. He's an anti-Semite. He's repulsive. His views are disgusting. And no one of any substance should give him any forum. It's frankly beneath President Trump to meet with him, of course.
There you go. Okay. But that's not good enough. That's not good enough. And the guest is going places that Don Lemon doesn't want to go. Does not want to go. Here is number 323.
So you're saying it was wrong for him to meet with him?
Well, you know, again, he didn't know he was coming, but it's never a good idea to give anti-Semites a forum.
And what about Kanye West? He knew Kanye West was coming. Kanye West has certainly made many anti-Semitic outbursts and statements, especially as recently as a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think Kanye West sounds a lot like Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, President Trump, I wish he wouldn't have met with either one of them, frankly. You know, if we're going to make Trump repudiate Kanye or his sidekick, I think we have to look at anti-Semitism in the halls of Congress from Rashida Tlaib, from Ilhan Omar, from AOC, from the
Rashida Tlaib, they are not president of the United States.
We have to look at the mainstream.
Sir, they're not the president of the United States. He's a former president of the United States, and this is not whataboutism. He met with an anti-Semite. So can we stick to the former president and not do whataboutism?
Yes, let's not do whataboutisms. Oh, wait a minute. Those are only sitting members of Congress. Those are only... Ilhan Omar is on the Foreign Relations Committee. She has no power. Donald Trump, he's the former president. Okay, he's the former president. She's a sitting congresswoman. I don't know who's more powerful as when it comes to votes and legislation getting passed right now. We're not talking about her. Well, you never do. That's the problem, you idiot. I was so fascinated by this interview. Oh, it's far from over. Far from over. So the guy admits Trump should not have met with Nick Fuentes should not have met with Kanye West, period. But he says, hey, what about Farrakhan? What about Ilhan Omar and the rest of the squad and the things they've said about Jews? Oh, we're not talking about that. Of course you're not. Of course you're not. You never do. Here's cut 324.
It sounds like you're making excuses for him, and there's no excuse for bad behavior. There's no excuse for anti-Semitism, and there's no excuse for being the former president and not knowing who you're allowing into a place where you have kept classified documents.
Don, I would appreciate if you didn't put words in my mouth.
I'm asking you if you entertain, do you condemn him for entertaining and meeting with anti-Semites? It's a very simple question.
Well, I'm trying to give you an answer that
it's a yes
I wish
or no.
You wouldn't have met with him.
It's a yes or no.
I didn't realize I was on a witness stand here, Don.
Oh, you got to love this. You've got to love it. Oh, I wouldn't want to be the guest booker or producer who booked this guest. I love it. I love it. I didn't realize I was on a witness stand. It's yes or no. Yes or no. All right. There's more. There's more. Never fear. This is not over. Here's 325.
He should not have met with Kanye West and a sidekick. What I'm also trying to point out, Don, is that it behooves you and, CNN and every other press outlet to call it out when you see it, especially when it comes in the halls of Congress, especially when every Democratic presidential hopeful goes and kisses the ring of Al Sharpton. If you're going to make me do a yes or no with you, yes or no should Ilhan Omar be condemned? Yes or no should Rashida Tlaib be condemned?
Omar or Tlaib.
Yes or no should President Obama condemn Louis Farrakhan?
It's not about President Obama.
And Jeremiah Wright. Yes or no, Don?
This is not about Jeremiah Wright. This is about Donald Trump and Nick Fuentes.
Well, why don't you want to talk about the problem of
Because they're not meeting with them at their homes. They're not meeting with anti-Semites. They're not meeting with anti-Semites. And the reason that you were invited on this program was to talk about Donald Trump this weekend meeting with known anti-Semites and whether you condemn it as someone who worked for the administration and who is Jewish. That's what this story is about.
Oh, is that what the story is about? This is not about God. This is not about Barack Obama. Why? He's another former president, just like Donald Trump is a former president, although Barack Obama, I believe, is running this country. Jeremiah Wright, Louis Farrakhan. Hey, but even Al Sharpton. Look at Al Sharpton's history. But I digress. Let's go to 326.
If there's an answer that you want from me, why don't you tell me what that answer would be?
That answer would be one of not whataboutism. It would be one to directly address the situation at hand. Was it wrong to meet with him? The answer is yes, it was wrong to meet with him. Should he have met with him? The answer is no, he should not have met with him. It's very simple.
Don, it's very rich when you're telling somebody who is Jewish, who has experienced anti-Semitism firsthand, who is a grandson of Holocaust survivors, what is an appropriate way to address anti-Semitism? Frankly, it's a little bit insulting.
It is insulting for you to think that I don't understand bigotry and racism, because I understand it.
So they're talking, hey, my answer would be, forget the whataboutisms, Don. We're not talking about racism and bigotry that you would suffer as a gay man and as a black man. We're talking about anti-Semitism. So let's stick to the topic, Don. The guy's grandson of a Holocaust survivor. Don wants to, I understand just as well as you do. How dare you say I don't? But you're doing whataboutism, Don. You're saying, I know all about what it feels like. Yeah, as a black man and as a gay man, not as a Jew. So forget the whataboutisms, huh? This guy, he is such a clown. He was a failure in his late night, his primetime time slot. Big failure. He was buddy-buddy, kissing cousin buddy with Chris Cuomo. They cried together. They laughed together. And then Cuomo goes away. He badmouths Cuomo. Eventually, he gets moved to the mornings because he failed at prime time. And he's the same radical leftist, not that bright guy that he's always been. Oh, I just thought that was so good. Well, that was, you know, that was, what can I say? That was Don Lemon, you know, trying to get this guy to say, yes, Donald Trump's an anti-Semite. And by the way, the guy said it was wrong. He already said it was wrong early in the interview. I mean, Don wanted him to keep saying it, I guess, in different ways. And he wasn't having it. He brought up other people that should be taken to task for doing things. But he met with them in his home. It's Mar-a-Lago, you moron. They ate at the restaurant or whatever, his home. He didn't bring him in his apartment. Give me a break. All right. His home. That makes it different. Oh, because, you know, Obama might have met with this one or that one, but this was in his home. Please. Please. You see how they work? You see how it goes? And by the way, Jake Tapper had a Republican congressman on earlier on Monday. I don't have the sound from it, but Tapper was doing the same thing. And the congressman said, Tapper said, you know, why haven't more Republicans come out and condemned what Donald Trump has done? Anti-Semitism, blah, blah, blah. And the congressman said, you know, there's a double standard in the media, Jake. You know, when people meet with or praise or don't say anything about, you know, Louis Farrakhan, it was the same thing. This is the same thing, basically. He's a double standard, whatever, and brought up Ilhan Omar and people don't talk about it. And Tapper actually said that Fuentes is much worse. There's no comparison between Fuentes and Omar. I didn't know that Jake Tapper, who's Jewish, does he rank them? Does he rate them? Does he keep scorecards for them? One's a Holocaust denier. I bet if you asked her in private somewhere, Ilhan Omar would say she's a Holocaust denier. I don't think she's ever said that. But again, she's a sitting member of Congress. She's not some white supremacist. You know, she's a sitting member of Congress saying these things. And Jake Tapper gave her some defense. He actually defended her. That's how sick these people are. That's how sick these people are. Okay. I am proud to announce, ladies and gentlemen, and you got to bear with me. The New Jersey Devils, probably their biggest win of the season, have defeated the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden, and that means a whole lot. They beat them 5-3. Within the first 6 minutes or so of this game, the Rangers led 2-0. And the Devils fought back, and the Devils win it 5-3. The Devils are now 19 wins and 4 losses. They've won 3 in a row since they had their winning streak stopped at 13. They had wins before the winning streak. Okay, they had whatever. So anyway, so they're three wins since the streak ended. And this was huge because it's a bitter, bitter, bitter rivalry. And I've hated the Rangers ever since I was a kid. So go Devils, baby. Go Devils. Okay, enough with the Devils. Now, you want to hear some Christian and Catholic bashing? For that, we go to The View. The ladies of The View. The very religious, smart, brilliant people who sit there on that panel on The View. And say the most disgusting, vile, vulgar, inaccurate, dumb things you've ever heard in your life from a bunch of women. I'm telling you, you can't make any of it up. So there's a case that the Supreme Court is going to hear, on December 5th. And it is about a woman. I believe it's Lori Smith. The case is 303 Creative LLC versus Aubrey Ellens. And the reason it's called that what the case is about is a bakery, a woman who refuses to bake. Here we go again. Wedding cakes for trans couples and gay couples and people that she says it would be against her religion to do that for. So, those radical nutjobs on the left now want Amy Coney Barrett to recuse herself because apparently she's part of some religious cult. If you listen to the left, and Joy Behar listens to the left, that's the only place she gets. How else would she know what to say? You know, I'm sure they sent her plenty, and I'm sure she reads it as she read this, basically. So everybody listen to cut 327.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett's religious faith is being called into question again. There are calls for her to recuse herself from a case which is about a web designer who wants to post a statement that she won't design wedding websites for same-sex couples because it's against her religious beliefs. Now, here's my question. Now, she is, you know, a religious person. She belongs to this People of Praise group, which the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled them a hate group. Mm. And their founder has questioned the so-called separation of church and state. They believe that sex should occur only within marriage and, of course, between a man and a woman. They've got very specific things that they believe.
She's Catholic by faith.
Mm-hmm.
She's Catholic.
She was.
And she reportedly...
She's Catholic.
So what's
those people as are the side group?
Oh. As are the majority of the Supreme Court justices.
Catholic.
And so they don't recuse themselves when they have to deal with religious issues.
Oh, these people nuts. So the Southern Poverty Law Center calls them a whatever they call them. The Southern Poverty Law Center, to me, means nothing. Nothing. Neither does the ADL. These are liberal, left-wing, radical groups who have, in my view, a political agenda. And when they label people or organizations as this or that, it just gives ammunition and cover for people like Joy Behar to attack the particular group in question. So we're supposed to believe that Amy Coney Barrett is some kind of nut, religious nut. And I'm not finished because you haven't heard the worst of it yet, okay? You'll hear from what belongs to a group that's been condemned by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And there's more. So let's see. So this is cut number. Where is 329? Hold it. Let me double before. Oh, here. I think we're skipping to Catholic. OK, we're skipping to 330. Here's 330. And this is Sarah Haynes, also on The View, actually sticking up for Amy Coney Barrett, 330.
Yeah, because I'm an avid LGBTQ ally and supporter, and I believe in all of that. But I don't think she should recuse herself for that very reason. This is not a religious opinion, and Sonny would know this best. When you write these opinions, they're pages long. As the general public, we hear the headlines of the results, not how they got there. It's kind of like a math problem. They have to cite and source every single part of what they do, and judges across this country go to work every day and have to set aside their personal beliefs. So despite maybe not liking where she gets through her legal philosophy, I don't think it necessarily is immersed in just her religious belief.
Okay, so there you go. I'm a little curious. That was 328. We did 327, 328. I'm looking to see where. Maybe it's in the next cut. Yeah. Okay. It is. Oh, it is. Okay. So good for Sarah Haynes to stick up for Barrett. And that, of course, judges, she's not personally, she has no financial interest in this. And by the way, it's not breaking cakes. It's designing a website that you heard. But judges have to go by the law, interpret the law. They don't go by their own personal beliefs. They're not supposed to, although I think a lot of the liberals do. And maybe some of the conservatives do. And I'm not talking about only the Supreme Court. You know, there's human nature, too. But so here's Anna Navarro talking about this and the court. Here's 329.
The problem we have is that I think most of America does not believe that this court separates between church and state, which is why we have record low approval ratings of this court.
That's a good point.
But it's also because of people, you know, we can trust the process, but do we trust the justices? Do I trust Clarence Thomas, who's married to Jenny Thomas, who was involved in the insurrection
right.
to not recuse himself but from a case involving the election. No, I don't.
And no, neither do most.
Neither do most Americans, which is why the court is in such a crisis of credibility.
Okay. Well, I don't know what I don't know what I did with the cut where Joy Behar also read. Maybe it was in that first cut, and I didn't pick up on it. I don't know. 327, 328. Anyway, she said that the Washington Post had called Amy Coney Barrett's group or her like the handmaid. You know, and the movie, the Handmaid's Tale, where women are raped and treated like second class citizens. So, and I've heard this crap before about Amy Coney Barrett's religious group, which is insane, just insane that that's who she is. And that's what she favors. And that's what Joy was bringing up. Now, where she says the Washington Post called that group that, I doubt that they called that group that. Some idiot probably wrote a column, an op-ed or a piece, an opinion piece, and made that reference. And of course, Joy Behar, not being bright at all, could say the Washington Post called it that. I doubt that. But this is what they think of Christians and Catholics. This is what they think of people who have religious beliefs and values. This is what they think of them. The Southern Poverty Law Center calls them this because of that. I mean, please. And we've already had a similar Supreme Court ruling on the cake. Not that you don't have to bake the cake, although there were some caveats in it. And I would believe that eventually this court will rule that you don't have to do a website design for a wedding, a wedding that's not between a man and a woman. If it's your religious beliefs, say that you don't believe in that. It's freedom of religion. But it's just so vulgar and vile and vicious the way they go after them and what they use. You know, to cite that they're right, and the Southern Poverty Law Center and ADL says Trump is this, and it's just sick out there. It's so sick. All right. But I'm a happy man because the devil's won. Doesn't take much, obviously. All right, we're coming back. We have another segment. Excuse me. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, it's Thanksgiving over in the United States. I have a Rocky Balboa attitude. For those of you who saw Rocky 1, remember that one scene?
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving to you. It's Thursday to me.
Well, it's Thursday to me. All right, the weather doesn't stop. You think the weather is going to sit there and go, oh, well, let's see, it's Thanksgiving, it's Boxing Day, it's Christmas. No, the weather never stops. And we continue to see this evolution of what is going to be significant and major cold setting up for December for much of the United States, Europe, and the Far East. Now, for Australia, I got good news for you. I think this cold pattern is going to reverse. And I think that as you go into December, you're actually going to start feeling like summer there. But the big three, as far as energy consumption goes, the Far East, Europe, and much of the United States, in about a week, they're all going into the deep freeze. This is climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are back. And I do have a little more on this whole Ilhan Omar thing, and it goes back to The View. First, I want you to hear what Kevin McCarthy, who we assume, or we should assume, I hope we could assume, will be the Speaker of the House starting in January when the Republicans take over the U.S. House of Representatives. And here is a pledge that he has made. It's cut 253.
One thing I said from the very beginning, Eric Swalwell cannot get a security clearance in the public sector. Why would we ever give him a security clearance in the secrets to America? So I will not allow him to be on Intel. You have Adam Schiff, who had lied to the American public time and again. We will not allow him to be on the Intel committee either. And you look, Congresswoman Omar, her anti-Semitic comments that have gone forward. We're not going to allow her to be on foreign affairs. But we're also going to stand up to what's happening, not just in the halls in Congress, but what's happening into our higher education institutions, the anti-Semitism that's going on these campuses and others. We will investigate that as well and stop this to make sure that America does have the freedom that we said we would keep, and we will stand up to it as we move forward.
Okay, so that was too much for the ladies of The View, of course. And I want you to hear, this is about a week or so ago. Here, they wind up defending Ilhan Omar, actually. They wind up defending Ilhan Omar. Here's 272.
What I was disappointed with was sort of the tropes, right? I mean, he constantly attacks Ilhan Omar. And yes, she made that comment all about the Benjamins comment. She committed to learning more. We've never heard her say anything like that again, that the people he chooses to attack are the very same people that he thinks his base wants attacked.
Yeah,
and that says something about where the Republican Party is today.
Okay. It's not as if she talked about Jews or something being all about the Benjamin, meaning money. OK, she tied Jews to money. That's not the only questionable statement about Jews and Israel that Ilhan Omar has made. So once again, Sunny Hostin is wrong. Let's just put it that way. Sunny Hostin, racist Sunny Hostin, according to Media Research Center. They have a link to the word racist, and you could click it and see all the evidence that they present as to why Sunny, and it's not her real name. Did you know it's not her real name? Why Sunny Hostin is a racist. But there she's defending Ilhan Omar. She just said one thing, and then she's never said anything again. Please keep your mouth shut. You would do yourself a lot of good if you kept your mouth shut. But then again, she's on The View. They don't care what you say. Well, they would if you were conservative. We've seen that with other women who have come and gone. Now, now you're going to hear Israel thrown into the same category as Hamas and the Taliban in a very clever little joking manner by Whoopi Goldberg and then Sonny. It's not her real name. Again, give a listen to 273.
Well, one thing that Representative Ilhan Omar said that did bother me in 2021 was she tweeted something comparing the U.S., Israel, Hamas, and the Taliban as all terrorist organizations. And she has maybe way more knowledge and experience in the very complicated Middle Eastern relations. But I did find that being on a foreign committee and comparing the country to a terrorist, known terror, those are organized terrorist communities, that, not Israel, but Hamas and the Taliban.
That it depends on who you talk to.
Right. Well, I mean, those are, that's how they're recognized as terrorist
and
organizations.
But it does America. Depend on who you
yeah,
talk to.
Well, they're recognized in this country.
Okay. You see? So she took issue with her comparing Israel to known terrorist organizations when she said she and the U.S. too. But then she said not Israel, but Hamas and, you know, when she said terrorist organization, she said not Israel, but Hamas and the Taliban. And then Whoopi says, well, it depends on who you talk to. In other words, there are plenty of people who think Israel's right in there with Hamas and the Taliban. And then Sunny, basically, it was hard to hear. She agreed with her. They know no limits. They're buffoons. We know what their true feelings are, and they're idiots to boot. You know who make a good permanent, you know, break it up and segregate it and put a man in there so it's not all women? Don Lemon. Don Lemon would fit in so perfectly with these idiots. He's a natural. He was born to be a member of The View. Born to be a member of The View. Okay. So let me let you hear some some reaction here. This is from the State of the Union, CNN State of the Union. Arkansas Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson is the guest. They show him a commercial for Herschel Walker in his runoff, which is coming up in a week or so with Senator Warnock, the runoff for that Senate seat in Georgia. And it mentions, well, you'll see what it mentions. So here is the question from Dana Bash to the governor. Here's cut 308.
Governor, after five people were killed at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado last week, you urged your fellow Republicans to tone down the rhetoric, particularly towards the trans community. But just days after that shooting, Georgia Republican Senate candidate Herschel Walker debuted this ad I want to play, and it targets transgender athletes.
For more than a decade, I worked so hard, 4 a.m. practices to be the best. But my senior year, I was forced to compete against a biological male.
That's unfair and wrong.
A man won the swimming title that belonged to a woman, and Senator Warnock voted to let it happen.
Are you comfortable with what Walker is doing there?
What was Walker doing there? The commercial included a woman named Riley Gaines, who was talking about Leah Thomas, who was a biological male who was allowed to compete as a female in the NCAA swimming championships. And women like Riley Gaines, like she said, got up 4 a.m. every day of her life, you know, to train and compete and get good. She was beaten by a biological male. Now, because of the shooting in Colorado, you can't run that spot? What, do we got to concede the issue? So here's how Governor Asa Hutchinson responded in cut 309.
Well, I am. I signed a law in Arkansas that prohibited biological males from competing with women in women's sports. To me, it's about the tone and about the broader arena. We also passed a hate law in Arkansas. We shouldn't be targeting anyone because of their race or their gender. We also have to speak in a compassionate way and have an understanding heart. And so these are difficult issues that we're dealing with as a society, and it's fair to debate and discuss. But
what about the timing
there? That's a fair question, but it happens to be in the middle of an election, and you can't hardly pull everything down. That's a fair question, but the substantive issue is one that's on the hearts and minds of people, and you've got to be able to talk about it, state your position on it.
Good for Asa Hutchinson. He should have stopped saying it's a fair question. What about the timing? One thing has nothing to do with the other. Looking for justice for girls, biological girls, in college sports and high school sports has nothing to do with that shooting. And shame on Dana Bash for exploiting that shooting and exploiting the victims of that shooting. Now, I want to get in for also from over the weekend on PBS, New York Times columnist David Brooks on, again, based on the shooting and the Walmart shootings, you're talking about gun control. Listen to how far he wants to go. Okay, we're skipping one now. We're skipping to 311.
You know, it would take, President Biden spoke about red flagging, the you would find somebody you think is potentially dangerous, and we would be able to, authorities would be able to go in and take guns away. That would take a gigantic culture shift in this country, a revamping of the way we think about privacy, a revamping of the way we think about the role government plays in protecting the common good. I think it would be something I think would be good not only for to head off shootings, but good to live in a society where we cared more intimately about each other. And I would be willing to give up certain privacies for that to happen. But for many Americans, that would just be a massive cultural shift to regard community and regard our common good and more, frankly, in a European style. I think it would benefit our society in a whole range of areas. But it's hard to see that kind of culture change to a society that's been pretty individualistic for a long, long time.
Yeah, we've been very individualistic, huh? Yeah, we like our rights. We like our Second Amendment. We like our First Amendment. we like our privacy. All the things that this clown is willing to give up. Why? Because some nut walked into a gay bar and shot it up. Or some moron who worked there for 10 years shot up a Walmart. So we're supposed to give up our rights and our privacy with red flag laws and everything else because of that. And that's not going to stop it anyway. Don't these people know, and I think the answer is yes, that the criminals will always get weapons. The criminals are bad guys. They will get the guns. It's people like me, law-abiding citizens, who will be punished. And that doesn't fly. Sorry, David. Move to the European nations and live with them. All right, folks. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Steve Malzberg. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend right here on TNT Radio.